This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, you are on Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking parenting. And again today, I am in the cold sitting here and grateful for the opportunity to once again speak to you. It's such a privilege for you to allow me to be part not only of your life every Wednesday morning at 9, but also to have a role in your parenting journey. So thank you for allowing me to be there. It's really with gratitude that I'm sitting here thinking about that, because it is really nice. And we've got such a nice variety of shows that we've done. Obviously, it's always me talking way too much. I do know sometimes I can get carried away in my show, but it is obviously my show, so I guess I can do it a little bit. But in the same breath, I'm not ever the expert. I just add on to the expertise. And I've really met such wonderful people as well on this journey. And I'm also grateful for that in the end of the day. So if you only do one thing today, I want you to sit and reflect a little bit and also have some gratitude for what we have in our lives. I think sometimes in the rush of everything, we get so caught up in the next thing that has to be done and all how busy we are. And but you know, the fact that we are able to listen to the radio, you have a phone where you can listen to the radio, or you have a car where you're listening to the radio, you have a roof over your head, we have meals that we can eat. It's all things to be grateful for. So I hope you're sitting with me in that moment of gratitude this morning. But today, of course, again, like I said, as always, we are talking parenting. And today we're talking about, I think it's actually one of the most exciting milestones. And I think most of us can remember, I was laughing because beforehand, my guest today, again, joining me is physiotherapist Linda Goldberg. And I was mentioning to her, I have to remember when my children started crawling. And I was joking and said I couldn't remember. Of course I could remember. It's one of those things, like I feel you can remember when your children started talking, walking, or crawling and walking. I feel like that's like imprinted in my mind, like very clearly. And that's what we're talking about today, crawling. I think many parents see it as simply a way for now your baby is becoming more mobile. But the reality is that like most things within the human body, there's a bigger role that it's playing. Obviously physically with the development, but also sensory and cognitively in their development. But to help us, like I said, unpack why crawling matters, it's not just from A to B, and what parents should know, we are joined by Linda Goldberg. Hello, Linda. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. And I love what you talk about gratitude, because I think every parent should just, when they look at their children every morning, should just have immense gratitude. Because it's a real honor to be a parent of children.
Yes, it really is. But in the same breath, I also want to remind parents that it is absolutely normal to feel gratitude and ticked off at the very same time. That is what parenting is all about. It's having two opposing feelings constantly. So luckily we are able to do that. And I think for me personally, that was one of the hardest things in the beginning, is was trying to sort out these feelings where you're feeling absolutely so happy that you are a parent and whatever, but in the same time, completely overwhelmed, hating part of it. And that's okay. It is possible to feel angry, sad, happy, all at the same time. Just lean into it. Stop trying to fight it.
Absolutely.
But again, now, Linda, what we're talking about today is specifically crawling. And why do you think is crawling considered? And I mean, I know lots of parents are very worried when their children can't crawl, but why is crawling considered such an important milestone in a baby's development?
Okay, so I think at the outset, from my own personal experience in my practice, that is probably one of the biggest referral bases that I get from parents, is help, my child not crawling or they crawling differently, which we will discuss a bit later on. But for sure, I think to answer your question, why is crawling important? Like, why is there are just so many reasons why crawling is important. And, just to go over them briefly, each one, for a baby to be able to crawl successfully, they have to have initially adequate development leading up to it, enough core strength, enough global strength, and also that willingness and that desire to move into the environment. So that's the beginning where we have to start even looking at crawling, is what has been happening up till then. But why is crawling so important? Well, it just works again on every part of the body. So we get global strengthening, in the arms, in the legs, in the core. Crawling is essential for that. And that's strengthening in preparation for future developmental milestones, for walking, for fine motor development, for so many areas that the child is going to need later on. So that's the strengthening part. We also look at the type of movement that is required for movement, for crawling. So we get a lot of what we call reciprocal movement or bilateral integration types of movement, where one side of the body is doing something different to the other side. So this is not the first time that we see this kind of movement, but it is very much, consolidated in crawling and the start of more variety in that bilateral integration. So that's the other reason why crawling is so important. And then we move on to just exploration. Before, when the child is sitting, the world has to come to them. Now they can go to the world. And that just opens up the learning opportunities. They learn spatial awareness, body awareness in space. When they crawl under that chair and their head hits that chair, they're learning, I'm too big or I'm small, or there's proportions, so that body awareness, that sensory input into the body from crawling, not only from the different textures that they're getting on through their hands, through their knees, whether it's the grass, carpet, laminate flooring, different textures. So that sensory input they're getting is just vast on so many levels. Then we also get that visual system. They're learning depth perception. Again, when you need to crawl through something, over something, at that movement of the head in all directions. If you think when a baby's crawling, they're not just looking down at the floor, they're looking in front of them. So that movement of the head in different directions to the side. So they learn that visual spatial learning. And cognitively, again, problem solving. Oops, how do I get through there? There's something in my way, or there's something too far away. So, just that crawling, as I said, opens up the whole world to the child, and that's why it is so important in our developmental stages, because it just helps on so many levels.
I love how you were explaining also about it, that now they can go into the world and the world doesn't have to come to them. And I mean, just that thought of them being able to do, you can just see the learning happening, those brain connections happening of, hey, there's something. And I can so specifically remember my son, he was a little bit of a picky eater when he was small. And yet he had, and I mean, he didn't really put anything easily into his mouth. He was such a funny child when it came to that he would always show me the thing and like to kind of say, am I allowed to put this in his mouth, type of thing? Except when it came to really gross things. Like he put a caterpillar in his mouth one time. I mean, I think it's okay to eat a caterpillar. It's not nice. But I can remember him so clearly, like across the room, no one could see anything. And he spotted this caterpillar that fell on the floor outside. He straight like an arrow went for it and picked it up and put it in his mouth. And it was the most grossest thing I've ever seen.
And just think about all those sensory systems that he used in one small activity, that fine motor, that oral, that extra, I mean, everything. And I'm sure there was problem solving after that when he realized
Yeah,
that this is
especially for me, I also had some brain connections happening.
Yeah.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning. Good morning again. Yes, this is 101.9 High FM and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking with Linda Goldberg, physiotherapist, about crawling and the most amazingness that is crawling and the starting of a beautiful journey for your child. And again, I feel a milestone that I can clearly remember. Please remember that this show and all of my shows are available on highfm.com for you to go listen to at any time. But as always, I also do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any questions, share with us. When did your children start crawling? Or where's your baby now? Maybe your baby's not crawling yet and you're worried about it. Or you have a grandchild that's crawling and it's exciting. And maybe a comparison. Maybe you can remember when your own child had it and then when your grandchild started. That would also be a cool thing to know. If there's a genetic factor involved. But WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. We would love to hear from you. But again, Linda, like I mentioned to you earlier, I can clearly remember my son. Oh, I don't know, because I've heard this a lot about first children as well. I don't know if we have more opportunity to pick them up. And because I felt my son's motor skills were always a little bit slower than my daughter. He started speaking like very early, but crawling, he did at an appropriate age. It was 19 months, but it took a while before he started walking. My daughter, on the other hand, I mean, that one couldn't wait. I already said when she came out of my belly, her neck was already stiff. She was already upright. She kind of already exercised within me to come out strong. So she started crawling, and she crawled not for a very long time because she wanted to move even more. But then it was, you know, a combination of that. But what is like the age? What's a typical age? Do babies start crawling? And what kind of variation is also, like I said, normal with that?
Okay. So that's quite a difficult question to answer because, so from my own experience and from my own practice, generally most therapists will accept that normal crawling is anything from 9 to 12 months. A lot of babies do crawl earlier, and there are some babies that do crawl later. But there is a huge variety in the age. And that is one of the reasons why. So I have alluded to this in previous podcasts about the list of milestones and like that is out there, that the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, has issued that we use for early screening. It's not for research, it's an early screening tool. And this was a huge controversy because they actually, in the older version, crawling was that 50% of babies at 9 months would be crawling. Now they've actually taken crawling out that list. And the big thing is not that they're not saying that crawling is not important. That is universally, we all know that crawling is important. But as a screening tool, they found that there was such variability in the type of crawling, the ages of crawling, that they couldn't find a specific age where 75% of babies were crawling at. So they actually, that's why they took it out. So that's a long answer to your question, but the short answer
is... It's a good answer because I think it is a stressful thing for parents.
It is. It is very stressful. But generally, most babies between 9 to 12 months will be crawling. But the variability is huge. And this is where the issue comes in. Because, yes, we have those babies that crawl beautifully on their hands and knees, but we also see a large variety of different types of crawling. And that was the other reason why they took it out, because for a lot of health professionals, they don't see that the only way to crawl is on hands and knees. They see that the ability for the baby to move and to go out into the environment, that is what is important. So for a lot of health professionals, they don't mind if the baby's bump shuffling. They don't mind if they've got an asymmetrical type of crawl. And when we say asymmetrical, that means that one side of the body is not doing exactly the same as the other side. So And so that's why crawling is actually so controversial. So in for me, as I've gone with years of experience, I see that crawling is not black or white. It's
No.
not that that on hands and knees is the correct way, and any other way of motility is the incorrect way. What I do think, and what most of us therapists are really wanting parents to know, is that if a baby does have an asymmetrical crawl, or they are bump shuffling, or they're all crawling like commando crawling on their tummy, why are they choosing that pattern? Because underlying that, there could be a tightness in one part of their body, or there could be that their trunk is not strong enough. Or, so that's what's important. And I often say to the moms that come to me for crawling correction, is that I can't guarantee them that I'm going to fix that crawl. If they've been crawling in a weird and wonderful way for 3, 4 months, they are successful in it. They may not want to change their motor plan because it works for them, right?
No.
It's a very hard one, because for me, it's trying to analyze why is the child doing that, and is it something we need to correct or to help them with?
No.
Because, if they're not getting weight bearing through their arms because they're bump shuffling, then that's often because their core's not strong enough. So we need to work on that. They may still bump shuffle, but we're going to add in those components in a home program so that we still get those important elements that they're missing out of by not crawling on hands and knees. So, yeah.
And I mean, it's really, I mean, just from what your answer now kind of fits in nicely for me with your initial answer when we were talking about why crawling is considered such an important part. And certain parts, like you mentioned, like the desire to move forward, then it doesn't really matter if you're moving forward by shuffling or leopard crawling or
Yes.
asymmetrical, like you said. But if you're coming now to that, you want that deep pressure in the shoulders because you want those, then obviously, again, there needs to happen something. And again, out of personal experience, I remember my son, I always said he was crawling initially like almost like a dog chasing his tail, that he was kind of moving in a circle all the time.
Yes.
And it was really, I actually think I took him to a chiropractor, not to a physiotherapist. And it was 2 or 3 sessions, and it was significantly better. That like funny kind of crawl that he was having. And that's what you're saying. And I mean, I want to add on this now, because lots of the times, children who are born by a cesarean section doesn't come out of the birth canal, and the what do you call it, the spine is not properly pushed in, which can also cause some of these issues. Both my children were born vaginally, so, and my son still had some alignment issues. So it's not a given that you are doing this, and he li definitely had some, I don't know, alignment issues or something, which was corrected, and it made a huge difference for his journey.
And that's why when those babies come and they're crawling, so for me it's the going forward, because that asymmetry or that alignment problems will continue throughout. It's not going to just get better by itself. So that and that's what's so important, because that can impact crossing the midline later on, and things like that. So yeah, that crawl, as I say, it really is important to try and understand the underlying biomechan. Is it a biomechanical issue? It can also be a sensory issue that a baby doesn't want to put their head down, because when you bum shuffle, that head is in what, is not moving as much. So then we have to look, is it ears? Is it a vestibular thing? So
No.
it's such a complex arena, and I think it's that sensory and motor systems all coming together so intricately, and all of it is focused with crawling. And
No.
that's why it really is important to not just, and we have a lot of babies, that's the other thing. There are a lot of babies, and you'll get people that may send you a message to say, well, my child didn't crawl. They just got up and walked.
Yeah.
And we see that, you know,
But is that something that is like, now let's talk about that, is that if a baby does skip crawling and goes straight to walking, should parents be concerned about that?
So again, I think it warrants just a check-in with a therapist, you know, and just to see, is there something, you know, is there a reason? But we can't bracket every child, every baby and say, because you didn't do this, there's got to be consequences later on. You know, I mean, I've had many colleagues at physios that I've worked with that I've, you know, that will say to me, well, I didn't crawl. And the one I know, she's a professor today. You know, so in physio, so it's very hard. We have to be very careful to say that every child who doesn't crawl is going to have an issue later on, because that isn't necessarily. But it is important to kind of just get that check-in and get someone's opinion, someone to look at the child and say, not everything is okay. I often say to my moms, well, you know, and this is my own personal opinion. There's no research about this, but isn't that only between 9 and 12 months do we get the benefit from crawling? Why can't we go back to crawling? So yes, your child is walking, they didn't crawl. So make crawling a game. Go back in time and when they're two, when they're three, and do the crawling. Get those, you know, those actions. So often those babies that don't crawl in a nice symmetrical way, they walk perfectly fine, and then I ask the parents to keep doing crawling. Go back to crawling and practice and get that bilateral and that, you know, input through the arms. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And today we're talking about crawling, and my expert guest is physiotherapist Linda Goldberg. And it's been such a nice and insightful conversation already. If you've missed it, don't despair, it is available as a podcast on highfm.com for you to go listen to. Linda, one of the things, and I mean, that's again, I think why this is such a wonderful conversation to have, because again, we want to be aware when things are not exactly the way, but we don't want parents to despair and be worried if it doesn't go exactly according to plan. Because even when you were mentioning earlier about the midline crossing, and again, I've now already mentioned that my son, his motor skills were slightly, I wouldn't say it was below average, but it was not the same trajectory as what my daughter, for instance, had in the end of the day. But he also later did have like midline cry. He had to get occupational therapy and things like that. But again, it was sorted out. It wasn't, and it was also not a big deal. And I mean, to this day, I always mention that when he was small, you know, like parents often say, like, "Ooh, I have like a typical boy that's like climbing," and like I did not have that until later. After he went through occupational therapy and speech therapy, again, everything very intricately linked here, because that's I mean, and I don't want to say consequences, because again, I did it like according to what the textbook says, had vaginal birth, I breastfed my child for 12 months, all those kind of tick boxes that you think you should be doing. I did do those things, and my son still had, and it's not even an issue. It was just a different journey that he was on to get to the same result. And now he's like a super, super active child, really good at sports and things like that. And that's what I just want to also reiterate, in essence, what Linda is saying is that yes, it doesn't always, and that's why she's very careful to say, "Oh, if your child's not crawling between 10 and 12 months, it's not," because there's just a different way that it might be happening. But again, Linda, I want to go back to those crawling styles that are happening, and I mean, we do get different kind of crawling styles, the bum shuffling, the army crawl, rolling, all those type of things. Are they all equal? Is there other benefits to army crawling
Well,
that
have you tried getting on the floor and army crawl? I mean, it's a pretty hard And I think that's what
I
happens.
agree.
I think the babies, again, there's that problem solving when they realize there has to be a more efficient way to do this, right? I need to go faster. I need to go, because if you're army crawling and there's something in the way, which is often how we treat it, that's where that problem solving comes in, because you can't army crawl upstairs, right? Well, you can try, but it's not so successful. You can't army crawl over a couch cushion on the floor. It's really hard. So often when the baby realizes there is a more efficient way, and then they transition. The problem, well, not really a problem, but the difficulty is a lot of the babies that do have these weird and wonderful crawlings can't transition from that into a hands and knees crawl. And I'm sure there are many, if their mom's listening, and they'll think, oh my gosh, like, I've been through that. I spent, where I went, took much, you try to get your child into 4 points and they just scream, and then they don't move because they can't move in that way. So yeah, that's why it's really important just to try and check and see why are they, because not all crawls are equal. Because you are getting more. So, for example, if you are crawling in an asymmetrical way, generally, if you always then, biomechanically, you're moving your body in a certain direction. So, like, for example, you'll rotate more through one hip than the other. So there is a consequence to it biomechanically. So that's why it's important, and that biomechanical consequence can follow through in walking, and in other activities. We do, just touching on what you said about the slower motor development, we do know that. There is research that babies that do like miss crawling or have a problem with crawling do have a slightly higher chance of a motor delay. But as you rightly said, it often rectifies itself at ages of 5 to 6. But it's the underlying reason that, if you've got a child that's got a weak core, that's got global lower muscle tone, that doesn't disappear with crawling. That is still going to, so we need to work on that, because that's going to impact on everything going forward. So there definitely is, a difference and a outcome for a lot of the kiddies that do crawl asymmetrically, and it is worth looking at.
And I mean, again, now talking long game here, it's like, Linda, today it feels almost like you're talking about my own, because now again, now you mentioned low muscle tone, and that is an issue that he is seriously struggling with, and something that we, to this day, he's 14 turning 15 soon, that he has to focus on, because my husband's 2 meters tall, I'm 182, so we're very tall, and obviously my son, who is 14, has been taller than me for quite some time already, and that I think the length of our muscles kind of adds to being prone a little bit more to low muscle tone and things like that. So it's kind of like adding on to that, but again, it's not a disaster, but it does actually, because we all have such bad posture and like bad. So it's physically something that all of us work on. My daughter is the only one I think that has the best posture. But again, also because I knew this from when she was small that we are all going to be tall and whatever. I made her. She did ballet and swimming. And the ballet made such a huge difference with her core strength and her posture. And so I think, again, there's ways around all these things, but in the end, genetics obviously also has a role to play in everything.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, this is 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and we're talking crawling today. If you've missed the show, sorry, you've basically missed a big part of it. Luckily for you, it will be available as a podcast for you to go listen to on hivefm.com. My guest today, Linda Goldberg, we've had a fantastic conversation about crawling today. Really, if you've missed it, you need to go listen to it. But Linda has to go very soon. So just before you go, Linda, I do want to ask you, how can parents encourage crawling naturally without pushing or forcing milestones?
So, I mean, the best way to encourage crawling is going back way before, and encouraging their tummy time and floor time. That's the way we encourage crawling. As little containment as possible, just allowing that, your baby to be on the floor, encouraging that global strength, which happens with floor time, and naturally the baby, will get to that crawling stage. And if they're not, that's when you need to, go and get an opinion. But that's tummy time and floor time is vital.
Great. Linda, as always, it's been wonderful having you on the show. Before you go, maybe just let people know where can they find you?
Okay, my number is 082-519-1447.
Great. Linda, have a fantastic day and I look forward to chatting to you again because I know it
Thank
will
you. Sorry for rushing
happen.
off. Have a great day,
Thanks, Linda.
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
On that note, I am joined by Regional Clinic Manager from Dis-Chem, Lizelle Fourie, as always, on our weekly segment. Lizelle, how are you today?
Good and you, Landy. Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. I was saying today we're talking about crawling, and I mean, my kids are 12 and 14, soon 13 and 15. I mean, just that thought scares the crap out of me, but I can still very clearly remember when they started crawling. Your children are slightly younger. Can you remember when yours started crawling?
Yes. Unfortunately, I wasn't there. That's the one thing I miss. She crawled with daddy, but she talked with
Oh!
me at least. So I got one, he got one. So, but yeah, it is a stressful time. I think with every milestone, it's in us to worry, are they going to reach it? How are we going to prepare them to get there? But I think we do overthink it sometimes. And I think if we just implement, like she said, all the things necessary, I think we should really just have a little peace in our heart about the milestones as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it was such a wonderful show. If anyone missed it, Linda had such a wonderful way of highlighting the importance of crawling in the development, but in the same
Yes.
time taking the pressure off it to realize that it's not detrimental if your child doesn't crawl or crawls in the wrong way. And there is ways to, and I mean, she even didn't want to use, I don't even think she used the word rectify, but to have the journey still of development and whatever. So it
Yes.
was really nice. But I mean, this is also, I mean, the milestones is something. Because that's what Linda also kind of highlighted was the fact that if your child is not crawling in the right way or there is a delay, it is always important to maybe just check what's happening. And obviously, Dis-Chem, the clinics and the nurses, this is really something that they can assist with.
Yes, definitely. And I think people don't always understand that it's not they come in for a vaccine and we inject them and they go. It's really not. It's a whole consultation and it is specifically to look at the milestones, encourage it, give parents practical tips on how to assist with those things, and then monitor it. And it's not just come back when it's your next vaccine. It's really if we pick up a problem or an area where we need to assist, for them to come back more regularly and assist them with that.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And I mean, that's exactly, I mean, the reassurance that you want, especially as any mom. I want to say as a new mom, but I mean, even the second time around, I needed reassurance.
Definitely, definitely.
So it is really nice for someone to check. Also, someone who has a little bit more of a direct comparison. I feel with other an experience with that regard because I think, and that's I feel Linda, like again, she really made it so wonderful how she spoke because you can hear she has so much experience in this field. And moms worry when their children are not crawling or sitting
Yes.
or those things. And
Yeah.
it is nice when you go to a clinic nurse and they are like, hey, you know what? Your child's not crawling, but they're doing this and this and this.
Yes, and just the objectivity of not being the parent, and just being an outside opinion of and assisting you. And we really try to do it with care because it is a touchy subject. No one wants to hear, in quotations, my child's behind. And that's not what we're trying to do. We're really just trying to say, let's look at what we have and how we can get to the next place.
Were both your kids, did they crawl at an appropriate time?
So I only have one little girl,
Oh,
but
only the
she
one
and
girl.
she
Why do I keep on
yes.
seeing we have to talk more, Lizelle, apparently.
But she crawled at the appropriate age, but she didn't crawl correctly. She did this thing with her leg, and it's very funny. She still does it if she's pretend crawling. Now that she's 3 years old, I can see it's still in her. You know, she did this thing with her leg that it just came a little weird, but she crawled, so we were happy. But yeah,
Yeah,
once
no,
they
my
crawl,
son,
they're all over the place.
I was also telling the story that I said that he was like a dog, like chasing its tail when he crawled, because he kind of just moved in a circle the whole time.
Oh, sure.
And look at that now, Lizelle, your child is like absolutely fine, nothing to worry about. Another thing that Linda mentioned, though, and I think we mentioned it before as well, is that tummy time obviously is super important with the development of all these type of things. And if you want to correct the
Yes.
single most important thing with anything, is kind of the foundation is tummy time. And there's lots of nice products that Dis-Chem also has available to help with tummy time, right?
Yes, and I think we all traditionally think that it has to be just flat on their stomach in a certain way. And there's a lot of things that can help you. If they're really uncomfortable, there's these little wedges where you can put them up a little bit, but they're still on their tummy. There's cute books and interactive toys that you can use because they do get bored on when they have to do tummy time. So it's very nice things that can facilitate you doing that because it is still important, even though they don't always like it.
Yes. As always, Lizelle, it was wonderful having you. And yeah, have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you, Yolanda. You too.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And yes, if you've only just joined me, unfortunately, you've missed most of my show today. I was speaking to physiotherapist Linda Goldberg about crawling, and honestly, it was a beautiful learning experience, and she had a fantastic way of highlighting the importance of crawling, but without parents needing to feel panicked by it if it doesn't happen the way it should. And also great ways to kind of deal with that situation. So if you've missed the show, do not despair. This show and all of my shows are available on highfm.com for you to go listen to as a podcast at any time. And we've got a beautiful library of different topics that we have covered. So yes, if you are wondering about anything parenting, of course you can go on there. Again, crawling, I think, can seem like a simple kind of milestone, but as we've learned, it is an important foundation for movement, coordination, and learning. For parents, yeah, listening, remember that every child develops at their own pace. I've shared with you my own experience with both my children, how different they are, and comparing is unfortunately a thing that we do as human beings, that we compare and we have to have like kind of an average and those type of things. But in the end of the day, we have to remember that all of us are unique individuals, and your child as well is. It's wonderful to be unique, and it's something to be celebrated. And trying to be average is not always, a necessary thing at all, because in the end of the day, we're all special and wonderful. Again, now thinking and reflecting of the gratitude that I have for the show, it's wonderful. I mention always, or not always, I don't think I've ever said this on my show, but I believe that each person is like a rainbow. When even when two people stand next to each other and look at a rainbow, technically how the light falls, you are not actually looking at the same rainbow. So it's impossible for two people to see the same rainbow. And that's how each person is that when you are looked at by someone, each person has their own perception. Hopefully, there's a unified kind of thing of colors, like a rainbow, but in the same breath, each person brings their own personality, their own perceptions into how they perceive you. So please go out there and shine like a rainbow. Again, take what resonates with you, leave what doesn't. But until next time, please remember to go out there and be kind. Have a wonderful day. Bye.